Greetings and good health. I am Dr. Jarek Osarko, a pediatric and family wellness chiropractor. This is your Lifeline to Vitality, where we discuss ways to cultivate family wellness. Good day and great health. Welcome back to another edition of your Lifeline to Vitality. Today on the podcast, how and why a leg length discrepancy is associated with an upper cervical vertebral subluxation. I've described the connection between a short leg and the upper cervical spine in a previous podcast, but I wanted to explain this topic in more detail for those who are interested in the science behind it. How and why a leg length discrepancy is associated with an upper cervical vertebral subluxation is based on biomechanical and neurophysiological compensations. While an anatomical short leg is possible, the majority of short legs observed are physiological in nature. Some functional cause is creating the leg length discrepancy. In chiropractic, our focus is on the neurophysiology and biomechanics of the spine and how it can affect all other areas of the body in some way, shape, or form. A vertebral subluxation occurs when a spinal bone loses its normal juxtaposition to one or both of the corresponding segments and interferes with nerve system communication. When a cervical subluxation occurs, either the atlas bone, the axis bone, or both, it affects all the structures that attach and associate with it. In general, when the upper cervical spine subluxates, it will laterally shift left or right, deviate superior or inferior, and rotate anterior or posterior. This causes the head to tilt out of balance, making the eyes unlevel. This head tilt negatively affects proprioception. Proprioception is how the body communicates its position in space with the brain. A vertebral subluxation disrupts four sensory structures of proprioception found in the spine. The first structure affected is the extrafusal fibers found in the muscles connected to the upper cervical bones. A vertebral subluxation will stretch the extrafusal fibers. This stretch causes the intrafusal fibers of the muscle spindle to detect the change. It distorts both nuclear chain type 2 afferent fibers and nuclear bag type 1A afferent fibers of intrafusal fibers. Both static and dynamic positional detection is altered. Secondly, the stretch causes the Golgi tendon organ found in the muscle's tendon to detect a change in proprioception. The Golgi tendon organ, or GTO for short, senses that there is tension in the muscle. This is detected by type 1B afferent fibers. Thirdly, a subluxation creates a stretch change in the facet joint. In the facet joint, you'll find mechanoreceptors. Regarding the spinal column, the greatest amount of mechanoreceptors are found in the upper cervical spine. The facet plays a major role in proprioception sensing function. The three types of receptors are Ruffinian, Pacinian, and Golgi type. The Ruffinian receptors found in the capsule are the most common and signal mechanical stress. Pacinian receptors respond to sudden changes and are found in the ligament articulation. Golgi type only respond to an extreme range of motion and are found in the ligament articulation. The fourth structure of proprioception affected is found in the intervertebral disc. Ruffini and Golgi type receptors are found predominantly in the annulus and longitudinal ligaments. A subluxation creates a malformation that is detected by the receptors found in the disc's fibrocartilage. To summarize thus far, a vertebral subluxation creates a disruption in muscle, tendon, facet joint, and intervertebral disc proprioception. Type 1A, type 1B, and type 2 afferent fibers send the message to the cerebellum that there is a disruption occurring in the upper cervical spine. This information travels up the dorsal horns through two main ascending tracts, the ventral and dorsal spinocerebellar tracts. The cerebellum processes the stretch information because it is primarily responsible for proprioception and motor control information. This information is then sent to the thalamus so the brain can integrate it. In general, the cerebellum tells the brain what is occurring in the body. The afferent information from the thalamus is then sent to the sensory cortex. The sensory cortex contains information about what should be happening in the body. At this point, the brain compares what should be happening in the body to what is actually happening in the body. If the information is the same, the brain considers this normal and doesn't send a compensated response to the body. A subluxation, though, creates a disruption between what is occurring in the body and what should be happening in the body. The brain must send a compensatory response through the motor cortex to right the wrong. The motor cortex sends a response through four primary descending tracts that travel through the brain stem. The tectospinal tract is responsible for head and eye movements and responds to sight and sound stimulus. The rubrospinal tract is responsible for sending out information from the cerebellum and red nucleus. The reticulospinal tract is responsible for intraspinal loops. The vestibulospinal tract is responsible for distal muscle effects such as the short leg. The vestibulospinal tract facilitates the contraction of postural muscles primarily located in the low back, pelvic, and lower limb region. The descending tracts are all part of the extrapyramidal system. The tracts receive constant messages from both the cerebellum and cortex to help control the regulation of muscle tone, smoothness of movement, posture, and balance. So when the brain interprets the upper cervical subluxation, it sends efferent information through the vestibulospinal tract to activate an interneuron in the spinal cord. When the interneuron is activated, it initiates an alpha motor neuron of the contracted or agonist muscles. This causes a physiological shortening of the extrafusal fibers of the postural muscles. The result is a short leg. The extrafusal muscle fibers also cause the intrafusal muscle fibers to coil. A gamma motor neuron causes a contraction of the poles of the intrafusal fibers, creating a lengthening of the center portion of the fibers. The intrafusal fibers become taut and sensitive to further changes in the muscle. This is called alpha-gamma co-activation. The activated interneuron also inhibits the antagonist muscle groups. Finally, with a subluxation present, cortical inhibitory tracts are inhibited. Under normal situations, the inhibitory tracts provide an inhibitory response to balance facilitatory tracts. But with a subluxation, the cortex inhibits this tract. This phenomenon is called disinhibition, because when you inhibit an inhibitory tract, you actually activate it. Disinhibition encourages the contracted leg to stay short. When we correct a upper cervical subluxation through a specific chiropractic adjustment, the leg lengths can balance very quickly. This is because we are decreasing local muscle tension, which is sensed by the type 1A, type 1B, and type 2 afferent nerve fibers. These afferent fibers are the fastest nerve fibers in the body. They can send neurological information between 80 to 100 meters per second. That is roughly the speed of traveling a football field in 1 second. The chiropractic adjustment helps turn compensations into proper neurophysiological and biomechanic adaptations. Thank you for listening. For even more information on how chiropractic can benefit you and your family, please check out my website, ohiospecific.com. That's OHIOSPECIFIC.com. Until next time, remember to keep your head cool, feet warm, and your mind busy.